It's Wednesday night. You know that it's your AEW Dynamite review, and it is, in fact, your AEW Dynamite review here for Wednesday, June 17, 2020. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight and choosing me for your Dynamite recap as we talk all things AEW. Hit that thumbs up if you have not already done so. That always helps the video out. And, of course, Super Chats are open. Those of you who wish to send one in, you'll see them popping up on your screen throughout the show. We've got a whole bunch of special ones. The donation amounts are listed in the description down below, and including the Butcher and the Blade. That Super Chat is still in there. That's the $25 one. And you can vote in the polls on Twitter, NXT, AEW, whichever show you watched. Maybe you watch both. Go vote at Solemn Monster is my handle, and we'll talk about those results a little bit later on as we get on here in the stream tonight. But before we get into everything that happened here tonight on the Dynamite show, I did want to mention this. You know, sad bit of news with on the injury front. No one's kicked the bucket or anything, but I don't want people to get the wrong impression. But injury news in AEW, Chris Statlander, who you saw last week on the show, she suffered a knee injury, wasn't sure at first the extent of the knee injury. We did get the report a few days ago from her on her own social media, so this is directly from her, that she is going to be out for a while. She suffered a high-grade tear in her ACL last week on a dive out of the ring onto Kip Sabian, and she is going to need surgery. So here's to a speedy recovery for Chris Statlander. That's one less female in the women's division that they have to use. Now, ACL injuries suck. I've never had an ACL injury, but anytime you hear about an ACL injury, it's long rehab, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months away. So unfortunately, it'll be a while before we see her again. But hopefully she gets well soon. So let's get into it here. Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page, they opened the show with the AEW Tag Team Champions defending their titles against the Natural Nightmares, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. QT Marshall, in case you didn't know, in case they didn't tell you enough times, has formed a relationship with Allie, who is no longer the bunny. She is now just Allie. That story has been playing itself out on AEW Dark now for several weeks. And apparently the story is that Dustin Rhodes thinks that he's paying far too much attention to Allie and not enough attention to the team. He's not paying enough attention to the Nightmare family. It's no different than if you have a good friend of yours who ends up in a relationship and your friend is giving the significant other, he's giving his girlfriend some time that maybe you're a little jealous of the time that he maybe is giving her. Of course, if you were a real friend, you would understand. You'd be like, all right, I get it, cool. You wouldn't be jealous, but Dustin apparently is the jealous type. And I got to show some love here. You know, QT Marshall, you look at the guy, he's not much to look at. He's not an overly dynamic performer. We really never get to hear him talk, so I can't even say if he's a good promo, if he's an okay promo, a great promo. I don't know. I don't hear enough from the guy to be able to tell you how good he is or isn't. There's nothing really exceptional about QT Marshall. He eats an apple. So did Carlito. That's really the only character trait of his that we know. But now he's got Allie. So maybe now he'll start to develop a little more of a personality. But I mention all this because I have to show him some love. Here in this match, I have to give him a shout out for the drop kick that he gave to Hangman Page. Very impressive. Very impressive drop kick from QT Marshall. I like a good drop kick. Such a basic move. But to get the kind of height on it that he got here is an impressive feat. Now, Randy Orton has a great drop kick. Dolph Ziggler has a great drop kick. Bob Holly used to have an awesome drop kick. Okada, how can I forget Okada? One of the best. One of the best drop kicks in wrestling. Some might say the best. But I thought QT deserved a shout out for the one he landed here in this match on Hangman Page. So QT was in there for a while. He got a hot tag to Dustin. In came Dustin, hit the Canadian Destroyer. He hits that in every match. I am very upset that this move has been reduced to just being nothing more than a transition spot. It sucks because it should. I mean, it looks great, but you shouldn't just be doing it to transition to the next spot or transition to the next move. But here we are. Here we are. QT, he hit the QT special, his own little dive out over the top, which did not look all that good. Not as fluid. I forgot, what do they call that? There's a name for it, because it's modeled or named after a pole jumper. The name escapes me. But he does his own version of it. He landed on his feet. Just, it didn't look all that impressive. But now, QT Marshall, we were told per Excalibur on commentary, now maybe this was addressed previously and I just didn't know, but QT Marshall has been gifted the Diamond Cutter by Diamond Dallas Page. Now, all due respect to QT Marshall, if you're DDP, of all the people to gift your signature move to, QT Marshall? At least, you know, Steve Austin said, all right, Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is a big name in WWE. Maybe not the biggest, but yeah, he's a big star. You wanted to do the stunner? I give you my blessing. Even though the stunner means nothing anymore. It's never going to mean what it used to mean. But in any event, apparently he's been gifted the Diamond Cutter by DDP. He hit Hangman Page with it, didn't follow up. Out comes Allie, who was not at ringside. We were told at the beginning that she was being kept in the back. Well, out she comes. I mean, the moment they said that she wasn't going to be out or she wasn't invited, you knew she was going to show up. And out comes Allie, and she's trying to cheer on QT. And Jim Ross, at this point in the match, referred to Allie as a Jezebel. Now, that is a word that we've heard Jim Ross. That's kind of his go-to phrase whenever there's some kind of evil female on TV. We've heard him use the word Jezebel going back 20, 30 years. But, you know, in this instance, I'm just thinking to myself, really? Like, what makes her a Jezebel in this situation? What did she do? Like, what did she do that was so horrible? Maybe I just haven't been following every segment on Dark. I don't watch AEW Dark most weeks. Some weeks I'll check some of it out. This week I think they had 11 matches on Dark. They really try to work as many matches in there as they can. So I admit, maybe I'm out of the loop on this, but I don't know. He made that comment, and I just thought to myself, what has she ever done that was really that bad? So I decided I got to go look up exactly what Jezebel means. I've been hearing him use this word now for years and years. Now he's using it on this poor woman, and it just seems misplaced. So I just out of curiosity, I go online, I look up Jezebel. And one of the definitions I get for Jezebel, a shameless or morally unrestrained woman. Wow, that's pretty heavy. But Jim Ross apparently thinks that Allie is a Jezebel. Maybe he thinks that about every woman. I don't know. Maybe Allie, maybe he made a pass at her in the back and she rebuffed his advances and now he's all upset. I don't know. Kenny Omega hit a V-trigger for a near fall. And the last call to QT finishes him off. Hangman and Omega retain. I thought it was a good opener. Not great, but I thought it was good. Let's get some of this Super Chat action started here. And the first man of the hour tonight is Jackalope Music. He hit the $5 Super Chat half an hour ago, so I got to shout him out. Troy King, what's going on, Troy? JWD82X, FTR is right where they belong. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Especially after what we saw at Backlash. Yes, they are. They're exactly where they want to be. Lamar Smith, thank you for the 10 as a buy or sell. One of the big guys needs to come away with a championship at Fyter Fest. They make these guys look strong and then they lose in the title match. It does not make any sense. Well, I might get into predictions when we get closer to Fyter Fest, but I agree. You put Brian Cage in a big match like this so soon. Doesn't feel like it's time to take the title off Moxley, but you know, you really want to beat the guy in his first big match. Rican Sun, thank you for the 2. Jacob Donnelly, Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho is the real greatest match ever. It could be. That could be the greatest wrestling match ever at Fyter Fest. And we'll get to more of these as we move along. Anna Jay. Just brighten my day. Hey, that rhymes. Anna Jay is one of my favorites, even though we never get to really see her, but she is one of my favorites in AEW. She is a mesmerizing lady. from Georgia, we were told. I didn't know that. I didn't know where she was from. Apparently she's from Georgia. Back on Dynamite against a... Oh boy. Against the new face. You talk about the... You remember the Faces of Fear from WCW? Yeah, we got one of those Faces of Fear tonight here on the show. I have not seen this woman. I think it's a woman. I have not seen this lady. I have not seen this person before on Dynamite. She had a match, we were told, with Hikaru Shida a few months ago on Dark. They called her Abaddon. They called her Abaddon. I want you, if you didn't see the thumbnail or maybe you didn't see the show, I want you to take a look at this woman right now. That's a prettier face than mine in that box. But take a look at that. That is Abaddon. As the fireworks go on out, either the fireworks or the neighborhood is exploding. But anyway, it is not often that I am legitimately freaked out by something I see on a wrestling show, but this woman, you talk about going from Anna Jay to Abaddon. You talk about going from one extreme to the other. Going from A to Z. Holy shit. I did not see this coming. And I know we've had characters like on Impact, somebody in the chat mentioned Rosemary. Yeah, it's not like we haven't seen, or Luna Vachon, you want to go back even farther. Luna Vachon, right, with the tats on her face and everything. So I missed Abaddon when she was on Dark back in March, I guess is when she was on the show. This woman freaked me the hell out when they zoomed in on her face. Look at those eyes. She wears the zombie makeup, the zombie lenses in her eyes, the contacts. She crawled out of the entrance tunnel to the ring. She's like a female version of the Fiend. Call her the Fiendess. Apparently, though, she is from the Rocky Mountain Pro promotion in Denver. That is where she is from. Wow. Tony Schiavone had a note passed to him at the beginning of the match from Dr. Britt Baker. Britt Baker was in her Rolls Royce. She was watching the action from the crowd. And anyway, she passed the note on to her BFF, Tony. And he said the note read, "This broad needs to find Jesus ASAP." She needs to find something. Something or someone. So they gave Anna... So here's why this was so surprising to me. They gave Anna Jay a video package before the match. She got some speaking time. They were promoting her return to Dynamite on social media. They were promoting it even a couple of days ago. So I thought, all right, well, especially now with Chris Statlander being out injured, maybe they need a new woman in the division on TV. They're going to start building Anna Jay up. It'll be good to get her back. They give her the video package treatment. And then she just lost. And she lost very quickly. I mean, if this match went 3 minutes, I'd be shocked. Maybe even two. Abaddon, she no-sold some shots. Landed a knee strike. She came off the ropes for a hurricanrana with Anna. Anna was on her knees, and she hit a hurricanrana. I don't know if she was supposed to spike her down into the mat. We've seen Rey Mysterio do that move where you'll be on your knees, and Rey will go for the hurricanrana and kind of spike the guy face first or head first into the mat. I don't know if that's what she was going for. There was really no spike here. It was kind of an uneventful move to use for the win. But she got the pin. She got the surprise win. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. And just like that, it was over. Dark Order comes out. They end up helping Anna Jay to the back. Anna Jay? How is Anna Jay going to... Now, we don't know if she'll join the Dark Order, but let's assume that's where this is leading to, right? Just like Colt Cabana. How are you going to have Anna Jay potentially join the Dark Order and not Marilyn Manson lady? Would she not be a better fit? Anna Jay in the Dark Order? I don't even know that Abaddon is signed to a contract yet, but she probably should be after this. She got me talking. I don't know how good her wrestling is. I haven't really seen any of her, but she's got that character down, I'll tell you that. As somebody who watches things like The Walking Dead, I could appreciate a good character like that. But when they zoomed in on her face, it's just not something I'm used to seeing on a wrestling show. And I had never even heard of this woman before. So when they zoomed in on her face, I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this? What is this? Am I watching AMC? Meanwhile, Evil Uno, when the Dark Order comes out, Evil Uno walks over to Colt Cabana. Colt is in the audience. Somebody in the chat says they signed her. Well, that's great. Abaddon was announced as being signed. Well, there it is. She is officially signed. Look, it makes sense. You know, you put somebody like that on TV, that's going to get people's attention. Now we'll get to find out how good of a wrestler she is. I think that's a good signing. We need some interesting characters like that on AEW television. Definitely caught me off guard. But Evil Uno walks up to Colt Cabana in the audience. He hands him an envelope. Colt Cabana opens the envelope. There's a piece of paper inside. And he has this perplexed look on his face. I thought maybe he was served papers for another lawsuit by CM Punk. This poor guy's probably still paying off legal bills from the last time. We did find out later that it was a contract for Brody Lee to team up with Colt Cabana next week against Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. I guess it's a binding contract. Colt Cabana has to adhere to the contract, I guess. I guess that's how it works. I wonder what happens if he says no. Maybe he gets fined. Maybe he gets sent to the performance center where apparently they're not testing for COVID. At least AEW is actually doing COVID testing. They'll be like, you're banished. You're banished to a different part of Florida. You're going down to Orlando. Man, he'll be grabbing onto Tony Khan's ankle. Don't let me go. I don't want to go. Save me. Rican Sun, I mentioned Rican Sun. Crash, thank you for the $2. What made you want to review AEW Weekly over NXT? Well, AEW was brand new when it debuted back in October. It was the brand new product. And I'm not watching both shows at the same time. I need to focus on one, then I could focus on the other. I don't want to be doing the whole dual thing, and then I end up missing half of this and half of that. But I've said before, AEW is just the preferred choice over NXT when it comes to the content. I save NXT for the main podcast because it just doesn't do as well. Although the takeover in your house review did very well. I was very happy with that. But generally speaking, AEW content does better than NXT anyway. So it was an easy choice to make. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the support. Food Hive wants to join the Dark Order. Well, isn't there a website that have some kind of like online application? You can go fill out the application. You could join the Dark Order. What are you asking me for? I don't know nothing about joining the Dark Order. Alberto Ortiz with the support. Chewy Gooey. Let's all have a dream about Abaddon tonight. Or a nightmare. I might have a nightmare. And Chris Quillman. JR also likes to call guy wrestlers studs, stallions, and hunks. Love those JR-isms. Yeah, what other JR is... He uses other words, too. Hoss, if it's a big guy, right? That's like a southern thing, I guess. See what other JR-isms we can come up with as the Super Chats roll in. MJF, one-on-one against Billy Don't Call Me Gunn, who came out with his sons Austin and Colton. They did refer to them as Austin and Colton Gunn. See, so here's what's going on. For those who are kind of in the dark and don't know, Billy Gunn is no longer allowed to call himself Billy Gunn anymore. WWE intervened. They are preventing him from using the name Billy Gunn. They have flexed their corporate muscle. It is their trademark, I guess. They must own it. If Billy owned it, he'd be able to do whatever he wants with it. But WWE says, nope, can't be Billy Gunn. So now he's just Billy, which sounds kind of funny, I guess. Always think of that Lex Luger t-shirt promo from years ago. The shirt's too tight, Billy. But anyway, their way around it is by introducing him as Billy. And if his sons are with him, there's no problem with his sons using the Gunn name. They could be Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn. They call themselves the Gunn Club. So they can get away with, and here comes Billy with Austin and Colton Gunn. And so I guess that's going to be their way around it. It's kind of like when Cody wasn't allowed to use the Rhodes name for a while, which I think he now is. But in Ring of Honor, they would introduce Cody and Brandy as introducing Cody and Brandy Rhodes, because Brandy, I guess, could call herself Brandy Rhodes. Copyright laws, copyrights and trademarks, and it's all confusing bullshit. Sounds like WWE is just being petty, but whatever. I mean, if they own it, they own it, I guess. So Billy went for a Famasser early on. MJF avoided it, hit a chop block, and pretty much took control of the match at that point. So Billy had the match won. Eventually, he did hit the famous, or he had the match won. Wardlow gets up on the apron. He distracts the referee, and over, you know, comes the ref, and he throws the Dynamite Diamond Ring to MJF. This is their go-to finish now with these two guys. And it's kind of weird because, and they even said, oh, he's got the loaded hand with the ring. So I wonder if they're still doing the loaded glove gimmick, if that is the gimmick, the loaded glove with Shawn Spears, because we have a loaded hand with MJF. That's kind of a little similar. But then again, MJF and Shawn Spears, I guess they were buddies, right? So kind of makes sense they would, I guess, both be loaded. Anyway, he used the ring on Billy Gunn, knocked him out, pinned him. This match really was nothing special. When the match was over, MJF and Wardlow, they got up in the Jurassic Express's faces. They were in the front row outside the ring. A giant brawl erupted. They had to be pulled apart. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, well, if they're going to have all these people out there, this giant brawl, they're going to be breaking them up. Well, then they may as well just do the lumberjack match that got nixed back in March between Wardlow and Luchasaurus. And lo and behold, at the end of the show, or later in the show, we found out that we are going to, in fact, get the lumberjack match that never was next week between Wardlow and Luchasaurus. So I guess we can now have more than 10 people at once in close proximity at ringside. I guess, is that the rule now? It's Florida, so in Florida, anything goes. Anything goes in the state of Florida. It's a free-for-all. Even as cases continue to go up, but I digress. Tony Schiavone, he interviewed Dr. Britt Baker. So Britt Baker was in the crowd. She was in her Rolls Royce. He went over to interview her, and he announced that Penelope Ford is going to be getting the next shot at the championship at Fyter Fest against Hikaru Shida. And this very much bothered Britt Baker, very much annoyed her. She's like, my leg is broken. Tony, you're in a lot of shit. TNT is going to be very mad because you just lost an interview. She was very upset. She goes, I'm going to put our friendship on pause. We're going to have a little friendship pause right now. Eugene Morgan. My boy Eugene, crazy ass. This guy used to have the name Crazy Eyes on the podcast when he would send in PayPal stuff. Now he's crazy ass. Eugene, you are in fact a crazy ass. Thank you for the $50 super chat drop here during the Dynamite stream. You are the top donator so far, so you are at number one, my friend. I'm glad you could join here tonight for the live stream. So Britt Baker's very upset. She's telling, you know, Reba, get me out of here. And they cut to the driver's seat of the Rolls Royce, and instead of Reba, it is Big Swole. And Big Swole pulled an Undertaker. She pulled an Undertaker from the Ministry days. Where to, Britt? And she floored it out of Daly's place. They had like a camera embedded below the steering wheel so we could see Swole. Then we saw, and she was, I mean, whoever was driving it, driving that thing 50 miles an hour, just kind of gunning it out of that place. Britt Baker is screaming for her life. She's shrieking. This was great. Later on in the show, Reba is looking for Britt. She found her in a dumpster. Britt Baker fired her, and so she fires her, and Reba goes, so I'm free? And Britt Baker goes, no, you're rehired. And then she's just yelling at her, and she's cutting a promo on Swole. See, I said, you know, when she got hurt, and thankfully for her, like, unlike Statlander, it wasn't an ACL injury, and she's going to be out a few more weeks, but it was like, all right, you know what, they can work with this. They could still put her on television, she could do entertaining segments, she can cut promos. Which is really the best work that she's doing right now. And I think the Britt Baker stuff the last few weeks has been fantastic. And a few more weeks, she should be physically ready to come back. So all's well that ends well, I suppose. What do we have here? We have Chris Quillman. I mentioned Chris. Stoned Mexican guy. I haven't heard from Stoned Mexican guy in a while. It's good to see him. Said, you're starting to look like Gary Hart. Isn't Gary Hart bald? What are you implying? I haven't had this much hair on my head in my entire life. And by the way, this is the last night you're going to see me like this, so you better enjoy it. A few more days, and it's all going to be gone. Spanish Goddess says Ricky Starks is officially all elite. I don't know if that's official. Did they say? They're calling him the hottest free agent in wrestling. Tonight I'm going to talk about Ricky in a little bit. Edwin Cardenas, thank you for the $2. Dark Order or Tozawa's Ninjas? I'm trying to think. You're putting me, you're giving me a question where there really is no great answer. Obviously, I'm going to go for the Dark Order. I hate all that bullshit they did on television. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want you to bring it up on this stream. I was angry enough about that the other night. I don't want to get angry again. I want to be happy. This was a very good show tonight. I want to be happy. I want to be in a relatively good mood. Spanish Scottish with the $5. If EC3 or Matt Sydal goes to AEW, that will make my year. Also, I wish someone like Sean O'Hare was wrestling during this era of wrestling. Now, Sean O'Hare never really got his full potential. He never got to that level in WWE. All right, so somebody clarified in the chat for me that he was probably referring to the politician, the old politician, Gary Hart, who I think did have a lot of hair on his head. The guy who ran for president. Well, that's different. That I can understand. Although I've never been compared to Gary Hart in my life. That's the first time anyone has ever made that comparison, and hopefully the last. But thank you. Cody. Cody was out next for the TNT Championship Open Challenge this week. He wanted to defend the title against somebody not from the AEW roster. That's what they're going to open this challenge up to, people who are going to come in and try to make a name for themselves. I like that. Similar to John Cena with the US Open Challenge in terms of it was open to anybody. It could have been an NXT person. Obviously, you weren't going to have people who weren't signed coming out to wrestle John Cena, but it could have been an NXT personality. So, again, I like the concept of doing the open challenge. Now, before we get into the match and everything, and again, since it was already spoiled, the person who stepped forward to challenge Cody turned out to be absolute Ricky Starks. I thought, yes! Good for him. I am a big fan of Ricky's work in the NWA. Former NWA television champion. They did acknowledge him as that tonight before he lost it to Zicky Dice. But he was a TV champion on the NWA show that Lagana and Billy Corgan run. And he left the NWA a short time ago. I guess that they just, his contract ran out or they couldn't come to a new agreement. So he was a free agent. And I was very surprised to hear that because I enjoyed his work. I thought that he is a smaller guy. He's not like a big guy. But I love his promos. The way that he speaks, his cadence and everything. Like, I stop what I'm doing and I pay attention and I listen when this guy cuts a promo. There's just something about the way that he cuts a promo I really enjoy. And his work is good too. So I think he would be a good pickup for anybody. Frankly, I don't need to see him in WWE or NXT. I mean, he should go wherever he wants to go and feels he can get the best deal. I would much rather see him in AEW, and I hope after tonight, if he's not already signed to a contract, that he is. He's called himself the hottest free agent in wrestling. He shouldn't be a free agent for much longer. If I'm AEW, I'm signing him to a contract. I think he would make a fine addition to the roster. But what I was going to get to here is before the match, Cody is cutting a promo, gave the mic off to Arn Anderson, but Cody is talking. He's like, there's no Dustin, there's no Matt, there's no Nick, there's no Kenny, there's no Hangman. I'm all by myself. Is the Nightmare family even a family anymore? Am I still a member of the Elite? He's like, I don't know. As he said this, I don't know if you noticed it. I did notice it. He put up four fingers. And he was kind of scratching his face with it, and then he was scratching his chest. But it was four fingers that he put up. And it does feel like, and I didn't think this a few weeks ago. I think somebody even in one of the super chats had asked me about it. And I said, well, you don't really have to turn Cody. Not yet. There's still time for that. But there's definitely been little things planted, certain things that he says. It just feels to me like we may be getting a slow burn heel turn here for Cody Rhodes, especially this week. It just, that part of his promo, it just kind of felt like, all right, I kind of see now where this might be going. And it makes me wonder, and I'm talking Cody and Arn, not that Cody is going to turn on Arn, but like the both of them are going to turn. Both of them are going to flip. And the more I think about it, and who wasn't in the chat at the beginning of the stream today? Oh, it was Bruce. Bruce! It's my Bruce Pritchard. Whenever I talk about Bruce Pritchard, like, Bruce! Bruce! But I think it was Bruce in the chat. He floated the idea earlier of Cody joining with FTR and Sean Spears. Now, Cody and Sean Spears obviously have history together. I mean, they used to be friends, then they were enemies. I guess now the idea is maybe in this scenario they would be friends again. But what if it was Cody and Arn linking up with FTR, linking up with Sean Spears, and don't forget, Tully. Tully is with Sean Spears. Tully thus reunited with Arn, and you have this kind of new age four horsemen faction of Cody, FTR, and Sean Spears. Could that be a direction that we're going in here? And I thought about that, and you know what? I could see that. I could definitely see that. And you know what? If they do it, if they turn Cody, and Cody is going to lead a horseman-like faction, it's the perfect setup to Darby Allin eventually being the one that, you know, he's got to climb that mountain. Darby has yet to pin Cody Rhodes. He has yet to beat him. And so he's the perfect babyface foil, and eventually he's the one to beat Cody and win the TNT Championship. I like that story. I think that works. What do you guys think about that? Cody and Arn joining, eventually with FTR, with Spears, with Tully, they form a group. And then maybe Darby in a few months, he's the one going after Cody, trying to take that TNT title. Because, I mean, Darby's out of the picture right now. He's not even on TV. But I could absolutely see that. I could get behind that, too. I definitely don't hate that idea. So in the ring, Ricky Starks, he trips up Cody into the ropes, ribs first. And he's jaw-jacking with Arn Anderson on the outside of the ring. There was a miscommunication in the corner. It looked like at one point they kind of collided. It was a little weird. But they regrouped after that. I actually thought they ended up having a very good match together. He had the crossroads scouted. I like that. I like the story. I like the story of the match. Cody and Starks, they spilled outside the ring. Jake Hager. They showed Hager. He was watching because remember, it's going to be Hager challenging Cody for the championship at Fyter Fest. Of course, Cody has to get to Fyter Fest first. He could always lose. He's not going to, but he could always lose the TNT title. And not even get to Fyter Fest. So Starks grabs the double underhook. Cody turns it into a pinfall attempt. There was a whole bunch of reversals back and forth between them. And he ends up hitting the crossroads. And this was one of those crossroads. And Sammy Guevara usually is the one who lands on top of his head. But he spiked Ricky right on top of his head. And that's all it took. 1, 2, 3. And Cody retains the TNT championship. So they shook hands after the match. I thought Cody gave him a lot. You know, they only went about maybe 9 or 10 minutes. You know what I would have liked to see? I would have liked for them to shave some time off of that tag team match with the Bucks and give it to these guys. Because I thought that match was way too long. The Kip Sabian match, Jimmy Havoc against the Bucks. Shave a few minutes, shave like 5 minutes at least off that, and give it to these two. If I had one critique about that, I would have rather that this be a little bit longer than that match. But they shook hands after, and like I said, hopefully not the last time we see Ricky Starks. Probably won't be. Hopefully it will not be the final time that we see them. Let me just see here. Lord Frieza. My man, Lord Frieza, I think he joined for the Undertaker stream yesterday as well. So thank you, Lord Frieza, for your support, as always. Austin Baker. Mark Summers from Double Dare. I look like Mark Summers from Double Dare. I used to watch Double Dare when I was a kid. I was a big Double Dare fan. I really was. Very big Double Dare fan. I don't know, they came out with like some newly revamped edition of Double Dare where I think Mark Summers had some involvement, but he wasn't really the host. It's not the same. It's not the same. Biscuit Torpedo, cut your hair into a solo mullet. It already is. Already got one going on back here. Gonna have to braid it soon like Road Dogg used to. Food Hive, AEW officially signed Ricky Starks. Perfect. Awesome. Smart move. He'll be a good addition to the roster. Prince Walker, thank you for the 10. And Pillow v. Pillow with the $5. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. I never really watched... I was never really a big Frasier fan. I know it got like a whole bunch of awards and it's like this really acclaimed show. I don't know. I never really watched Frasier. Frasier was never really my thing. The Young Bucks against Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, the Superbad Squad, is what they call themselves. I thought the match, like I said, ran longer than it needed to. I would have given more time to Cody and Ricky Starks. Butcher and Blade, they were at ringside. They were approaching Matt Jackson on the floor at one point. FTR showed up, and so Butcher and Blade, the men in white, apparently now they're dressed all in white now. That's their new gimmick every week. I don't know why. I mean, I guess the Butcher wants to look like a real Butcher, and the Blade, I guess, just wants to be consistent, and so now they're wearing white. They look like something out of the 1950s. Matt blocked a Hurricane Rana from the top rope from Sabian, and landed a jumping powerbomb, hot tag to Nick. Nick cleared house. And Jimmy Havoc was distracting the referee. That allowed Penelope Ford to hit Nick in the back with a slippery when wet sign. See that sign sometimes? So she hit him with the sign. Sabian landed a splash off the top rope, only got a near fall. Now he came up, he was bleeding. And I think Tony Schiavone said maybe it looked like it was coming from his ear. I didn't see how it happened. It looked to me also like it was coming from his ear. But he had blood all over his chest. And anyway, he was fine. I mean, it was one of those minor injuries, I guess. But he had blood all over himself. Sabian landed a double stomp on Matt from the top. Nick broke up the pin. And for the finish, the Bucks placed Jimmy Havoc in Kip Sabian's hands, kicked his legs out from underneath him. Basically, he tombstoned his partner. Tombstoned his partner. Kamigoye to Kip Sabian followed. And that's all she wrote. And this really was just to build to the post-match, which was Butcher and Blade attacking the Bucks. FTR gets involved, turns into a competition between them and the Bucks. We saw super kicks. We saw the Goodnight Express. And then both teams hit spike pile drivers on Butcher and Blade. Butcher and Jimmy Havoc, I believe it was. Like I said, I would have preferred the scenic route for this match. But they got to their destination, which was another face-off with the Bucks and with FTR. And then the main event. Main event was Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara against Best Friends, with Best Friends putting their number one contendership for the tag team titles at Fyter Fest on the line. Matt Hardy joined on commentary because he is going one-on-one next week with Sammy Guevara, so it was just regular Matt Hardy. He was the one on commentary. We got a more aggressive Best Friends out of the gate. They were all over Jericho and Sammy for what they did to Blood Orange Cassidy the week before. Skipping ahead here, there was an assisted superplex late in the match by the Best Friends to Sammy Guevara, and then a lariat turned him inside out, only a near fall. So Chuck is on the outside. Jericho had put, I think it was Trent, but he had put one of them in the walls of Jericho. He got knocked out of the ring. So Chuck is outside with Chris Jericho. And they're battling out there. In the ring, Sammy grabs Floyd, which is the aluminum baseball bat. Referee is distracted. He grabs the ball bat, hits Trent in the midsection with it. Shooting star press. They got me on this one. I thought that they were going over here. I thought they were winning. And it was going to be Jericho and Sammy, until I realized, wait a minute, Fyter Fest, Jericho and Orange Cassidy. But for that moment there, I forgot about that. And I thought, well, they're going to swap them. And I mean, to me, it felt like a bigger match anyway. It would have been a bigger match to me to have Jericho and Sammy challenge for the tag team titles, but they couldn't do that because obviously Jericho's already occupied. So he only got a near fall on the shooting star. Sammy hit the ropes, and it looked like he got his foot caught on the apron. Tony Schiavone said, oh, it looks like the cameraman. He got tripped up in the cameraman by accident. And Trent finished him off, and the Best Friends retain their number one contendership. They go on to Fyter Fest. The cameraman reveals himself, comes into the ring and reveals himself to be Orange Cassidy. And he goes after Chris Jericho, gives him a Superman punch, knocks him out of the ring. And we now know per Tony Khan that at Fyter Fest, it will in fact be Chris Jericho one-on-one against Orange Cassidy. Will Mike Tyson be there? Will he get involved? Is the whole Tyson thing dead? I don't know. If they were going to shoot some kind of an angle, that would be the place to do it. Especially if it costs Jericho the match. Give some fluky win to Orange Cassidy. Set things up with Jericho and Tyson. Could be setting up for that at Fyter Fest. So next week, Sammy Guevara takes on Matt Hardy. Hardy's going to allow Sammy to pick which version of Matt he wrestles. So he will get to, I don't know if he's going to spin a wheel. I don't know if he's going to use the list randomizer that I use for the Wrestle Rumble giveaway during my Backlash stream. I don't know, but he's going to pick the version of Matt Hardy that he wants to wrestle. We've got Brody Lee and Colt Cabana taking on Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss. Did we get part two of their movie? We might have, because I stepped out of the room a couple of times. Last week, we had like this little mini movie. It was to be continued. Maybe I missed it, but I guess they're going to be a tag team next week. And we are finally getting the Lumberjack match between Wardlow and Luchasaurus that was originally going to take place in March. FTR takes on the Natural Nightmares, Goldust and QT, or Goldust. Dustin and QT Marshall and Jon Moxley, the AEW champion, will be in action with Taz on commentary. Oh, that reminds me. I almost did forget this. So there was a segment on the show tonight where they were doing an on-site promo. It looked like they were under a bridge somewhere. There was like a bridge or an overpass in the background with Brian Cage and Taz. Taz did most of the talking. I mean, really, it was like you would think Taz is the one wrestling Chris or Jon Moxley. Taz was cutting a hell of a promo, and then Brian Cage stopped him, and then he started talking. And it was in that moment that I realized it just reinforced the point that I made a few weeks ago about the importance of having a manager. He's not the worst, but he ain't the best. So there's a reason why Taz does most of the talking, and all Cage has to do is just stand there, mean mug the camera, cross his arms, make a mean face. That's all he's got to do. Taz should be the one doing the talking from now on. I thought this was a very good show. I enjoyed it. They put things in motion for Fyter Fest. I thought some of the action, I really enjoyed the Cody and Ricky Starks thing. It just wasn't that long. Again, I wish it was maybe a few minutes longer, but he gave him a lot. Apparently Ricky Starks, I'm seeing in the chat, is signed to a contract. And so there you go. There you go. It's a signing that makes sense. You know, it's not like he's going to be wrestling for the world title anytime soon, but he's a capable performer who can talk. He's got charisma. I wouldn't say MJF charisma, but he's got charisma. So I think that's a good signing. I do believe that is a good signing. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the $10. I'm digging the more aggressive best friends in Orange Cassidy. A nice but brief change of pace. It was. You know, it's sometimes when you have like a comedy act like that, you got to get serious. You know, their best friend, no pun intended, but their best friend got the shit kicked out of him last week. He got hit in the head with a bag of oranges, which everybody, they were saying blood oranges, and then I had emails all week from people saying, Solomonster, those were in fact not blood oranges. I don't give a shit what kind of oranges they were. Thank you for the tip, I appreciate it, but I don't care. To me, it's all the same. It's an orange. What is the difference between an orange and a blood orange? Do they weigh more? Do they have, is it like some kind of projectile that explodes upon impact that would hurt Orange Cassidy more than a regular orange? An orange is an orange. An apple is an apple. Apples and oranges. There you go. JC Zephyr, supporting my fellow New Yorker. If there is a championship belt that you would love to one day purchase to add to your wall, which one would it be? Well, probably the Big Gold. I did become quite fond of Big Gold over the years. Yeah, the ones over my shoulder, again, the Big Gold from the Attitude Era is one that I got when they first started making belts. I mean, at the time, I was probably still in college at that time. And they had just started making, you know, not the shitty foam ones, but the ones that you see there. And I said, I got to get it. And it was great. So I have it on display. The other one was a gift. I always wanted that one, you know, ever since I was a kid. I had a Halloween costume one year. I had a Halloween costume 1 year, and I had to go ahead and pick up one of these. So we got this. I don't know if you could see it, but we got this. We got this one here too. Nice and shiny, right? Nice and shiny. Look at this. I feel like Mr. Perfect. I feel like like Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. They've got that new one, and the new one. I don't hate the new one. It looks okay, but it don't look like this. So I got a few championships. That's the only ones I have. Those are the only ones I have. If I wanted one, probably it would be the big gold. I wouldn't mind adding big gold to my collection. You never know. Maybe one day. I don't have any room. Where would it go? I don't have the space for it. I'm sure I would find the space, though. SlayFox100 Trons, thank you for the super chat. Tamara Davis, which Fyter Fest match are you most anticipating? I would say Moxley versus Cage. Well, it's definitely not Cody and Swagger. Probably Moxley and Cage. I would say probably Moxley and Cage. I mean, we got Penelope Ford against Sheeta. It could be a breakout night for Penelope Ford. I don't know that they're going to go out there and have a great match, but we've got that. We've got Omega and Hangman against Best Friends. I'm not like a big Best Friends guy. I don't need Best Friends. I got enough friends. Probably Moxley and Cage. I agree. Probably Moxley and Cage. So, with all of that being said, with all that being equal, let us take a look at the polls. How about that? AEW Dynamite, a little lower, actually, than it normally would be. A little lower than it normally would be. It would usually be like low 80s, but right now we got it around 78.8%. 21.2% thumbs down, with almost 900 votes in so far. And the NXT poll, actually more competitive. NXT more competitive than they are on most weeks. So we've got 75% thumbs up, 25% thumbs down. Let your voices be heard. Let your voices be heard in the polls on Twitter at Solomonster. Of course, I forgot to put the phone number up, so there it is. Reconson, you forgot about the great dropkick of Maven. Oh, of course, Maven. Maven had a pretty good dropkick. Maven could have been something. I maintain that Maven got fucked. Maven should have been a bigger star than he was. It was just something about him. He could have gone a lot farther. I don't know what it was that kind of stalled him. I don't know. I don't know the story behind that. I know that as of a couple of years ago, I don't know if he still works there, but there's a bar in Manhattan. I think it's Bar 5150 or something. I think it's like one of the bars in Manhattan on 3rd Avenue that he was bouncing at. And multiple people tell me, hey, I'm at this bar, and guess who's at the door? It's Maven. I had like two or three people over the years email me and tell me that. So I guess that's what he's been doing these days. But I still feel like there was more that he could have done. Chewy Gooey, thank you for the 6. AEW's women's division may be average in terms of depth, but one of the things that catches my interest is charisma. Well, I mean, who would you say is the most charismatic? I mean, right now, it might be Britt Baker, as far as charisma is concerned. Who do you think is the most charismatic? Slay Fox, who is the better, Dr. Isaac Yankem, Britt Baker, or John Cena? What is the connection between John Cena and the two dentists? I don't get that. Dr. Isaac Yankem, Britt Baker, or John Cena? Oh, doctor. Okay. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. Don't mind me. This is what happens when you go on 3 hours sleep and all you do is work all the time. Who is the better doctor? Isaac Yankem, Britt Baker, or John Cena? It's got to be Isaac Yankem. Isaac Yankem is underrated. Isaac Yankem is underrated. I might be the only person in the world to say that. Let's shift over and... I am very tired, so we are going to probably cut things short after a little while here, but we'll get going and see what happens. Let's start out with 502.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Monster?
Hey, Chris, what's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Just enjoying my wrestling Wednesday night as usual.
Well, good. What did you like the most about the show tonight?
I mean, on the whole, I liked it pretty much all the way around. But I mean, I don't know, the Cody Rhodes one was pretty good. I like seeing a new face like that. I had never heard of the guy, to be honest. So seeing him come out, and I thought he did pretty good. And I guess everybody in the chat was saying that he got signed or whatever. Is that right?
Who got fined?
Cody's opponent. I can't think of
Oh,
the guy's name right now
signed.
off
I
the
thought
top
you
of my
said
head.
fined. I was like, what would he have gotten fined for? Okay, yes, yeah, signed. I'm gonna look into that. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that right now. But that's what people in the chat were telling me, that he was in fact signed, and I'm gonna check right now. And yes, Tony Khan has announced that he has been signed. So Ricky Starks is officially All Elite.
All right, I guess we'll see him a bunch in Dark, probably, though.
Yeah, well, maybe, probably. But yeah, here's the announcement here. I guess they announced that I see on their Twitter a little bit earlier that Abaddon is also All Elite. So we're going to get Abaddon and we're going to get Ricky Starks, and hopefully we'll get to see one or both of them on Dynamite and not just Resolve or Reserved, rather, for Dark.
Yeah, she should be signed. I mean, I think she's the big talk of the night. I mean, not necessarily that her match was amazing or anything, but I guess her look and everything like that, she seems like she's kind of a hot commodity tonight.
Well, she got people talking. I mean, look, she's got a unique look, and sometimes that's what you need. You want to have a unique look that she certainly stood out to me. She certainly stands out from everybody else they have in that division. You don't want a whole division of people that look the same. So in that respect, I think it's good. But I just would like to see her wrestling to see, exactly what she brings to the table.
Right. So I got a question about your favorite tag team, the Butcher and the
Oh, sure.
Blade. Okay, so this whole Alley thing, it seems like they're really trying to get us, to separate Alley from the Butcher and the Blade. But do you think maybe it might be like a swerve, like maybe she's kind of a Trojan horse? I mean, obviously she's going to be in there to split up QT and Rhodes, but like, do you think that like it's kind of all an angle just to lead to a program between Butcher Blade and QT and
No, I don't think so because
Dustin?
they're not really, I don't know, they're not really talking about her much as the bunny. They're not really focused on the fact that she used to be with them. I mean, we know that she was with them, but it's almost like, all right, we're going to forget that ever happened kind of thing. So I just think it's two totally separate things. I think they're using Butcher and Blade. The last couple of weeks, they've used them to as bait, basically, between the Bucks and FTR. They get the shit kicked out of them every week. I don't think they have any big plans for them. So you may be giving this more thought than they are, but I don't think that's the case.
Okay. Yeah, that's I was just curious. I thought about that tonight, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Cool. Anything else?
Well, you have a good night, Mr. Mossy. Nope, that's it.
Okay.
You have a good one, and get some rest.
I'm going to try, and hopefully you'll join me again next week, and we'll get you back on. So that was Chris, and let's go to 702.
Hey, Solar Monster, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Just I'm actually still watching Dynamite. I'm on the main event right now.
Well,
So it seems to be like a good show so far.
yeah, no. Overall, it was a very good show. I enjoyed the TNT title match. I don't know if you have a favorite part or a question about a specific match, but that would get my vote probably as my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I know what's his name? The NWA guy, Starks, Ricky
Yeah,
Starks,
Ricky
right?
Starks.
I know he was calling commentary as being in a free agent, but what are the chances that, you know, maybe that could actually potentially work some form of deal between NWA and AEW? There's already been a connection with Cody, at least, and some of the older wrestlers.
Yeah, there is a relationship there, or at least there was in the past. They've worked together. Look, I interviewed Dave Lagana, you know, the VP of the NWA, not too long ago, and he made it clear there's really only one promotion that they're not willing to work with. Otherwise, they're open to having that conversation. If anybody wants to work with them in some capacity, they're open to it, which they should be, because it's good for them. It gets their brand more exposure. But outside of Impact, because there obviously were issues with them in the past, with Lagana and with Billy Corgan and Impact, and so Impact is off the table. But otherwise, they're open to working with anybody if they're interested. The only thing is, you know, would AEW see any benefit in that? I don't know. I think there'd be a lot of benefit in AEW working with New Japan. I still feel the same way that I felt a few months ago. So that's the working relationship that I'd love to see. If they could work something out there, I think that would be great. 980. Alrighty. 347.
Yes. Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. My name is Tony. I'm a big fan of your show. It kind of has like a radio wrestling show vibe to it. I kind of really dig it. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny because you're welcome. I'm a huge fan of AEW. I follow it all the time. And I mean, I don't ever watch WWE at all. But the thing is, like with Kenny Omega, right? This guy was supposed to be, and you know, still is talented, but was like the biggest wrestling star a few years ago with the Okada matches. And I don't really, you know, I know he's the tag team champion and all, but I don't see him as kind of the star that he was kind of hyped up to be in the beginning of AEW, you know? I mean, Orange Cassidy's way more over than him, you know? So maybe it was Okada, because he's the greatest probably, pound for pound, the greatest wrestler in the world, but I don't know what's his identity in AEW right now. Your opinion? I mean, he seems to have a different identity in being the elite, you know, in the YouTube series.
Yeah, I mean, that's
as opposed to
that's kind of what he's tied into, right? I mean, he's been asked about that before because I feel the same way. He's not as big of a name. He's not as big of a star as he was when he first came in. And his response to that was, "I'm here to help make other people." And my whole thing is, that's nice and all. I think that's great that he feels he wants to do that. But at the same time, you're trying to build a new brand. You're trying to build this company. You can use all the star power that you can get. I would be using him, or I would have used him at the start, in a higher position than he's kind of settled into. I think he'll get there.
Yeah, he will, but even the match quality is not the same. Maybe it was the way they used him in New Japan. Maybe because he's very fast with his moves, and there's no real promo set with him. And he doesn't, his identity is definitely more with being an elite. But I just don't get it. I mean, I know, Hangman is more over than him, and they're the tag team champion, so... You know, I know he wants to, they all want to put other people over. I get that. But still, like, I don't see his real identity as a performer. You know what I'm saying? And I just wish he could figure it out. You know, or just go with something, you know, concrete. I think they will.
I think ultimately the goal probably in the next, I don't know, in the next 6 months, within the next year, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of a split with him and Hangman. And maybe that's the feud coming out of it. I would expect that they're going to eventually come back around to Omega and Moxley, which they had last year, and he'll probably win the title, and then he'll finally ascend to that position. You're right in this respect, though. The matches he was having in New Japan, we've not seen him have...
That was the Okada. Let me tell you, they said how great Omega was. No, that was already all Okada. Okada's the real deal.
He is, but I wouldn't say it's all him. Okada's the real deal. Okada's the
not all him. Let's say 60-40 or 65-35.
It takes two to tango. Okay. But here's the thing. Okada's not true. The only one. Okada's not the only one he had great matches with. He had great matches with Tanahashi, with Ibushi, with some of the lower card guys as well. True. Not even like the very like tippy top guys. So I would give him more credit than that. The thing is, in New Japan, it's a totally different style. Those guys can go out there for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and have these long matches. There's no weekly television show like there is with AEW. Look, it's a weekly show. It's like WWE in some ways. You got to have the entertainment. You got to have a few long matches, short matches. It's just a different product. Imagine, Tony, if he had gone to WWE. Do you honestly believe that they would have done a better job with him?
Oh, no.
Maybe for a little while. But do you honestly believe that people would look at Kenny Omega right now on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown and go, "There, that's the Kenny Omega from New Japan"? No, because New Japan is a totally different product. It's totally different.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But you know what? I was thinking about that. I just think maybe the way they were using him, I think because he's an EVP, so he kind of is like calling his own shots. Maybe Omega needs to be directed a little bit because he's very talented. He's great. But I just think he needs maybe some kind of direction with his identity and his character and his development. And, you know, this is my opinion, but
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you see other guys that are coming into their own and just really doing really well. And he's kind of like, you know, I just think maybe he needs a little more direction, in my opinion, you know? So
yeah, no, I think
he's great.
Yeah, no, I think that it's a fair point, and I just think if you're a little more patient, because I think it's coming. I think it's going to be a few more months, but mm-hmm. I think it's coming, and then hopefully he'll begin to break out of the tag team stuff and start doing more in the singles ranks. But look, it's a great point.
I'm sure that happened, but it's just this character. He went into like several different phases. It's just where is he going as his character develops, and I also hope. On another note, I hope Orange Cassidy beats Jericho. It's not going to happen, but it will be great. He's so freaking great. I love that guy. He's fucking great, bro.
Thank you.
All right. I love the show, man. Take care. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. A lot of energy there. A lot more energy than I have right now. But he's a big Orange Cassidy fan, so you got to love that. Got to love the fact that he's an Orange Cassidy fan. Cannot hate on that. By the power. Is He-Man donating? By the power of Grayskull. How much longer can they put off the Hangman term before it turns into Bayley and Sasha? Few more months. I think they could probably squeeze maybe like two or three more months out of it. By the time they get to All Out, I think it's time to do the match. I mean, All Out's the beginning of September. I think they have until then. They try to take this beyond then. It's going to get very long in the tooth. PW Hustle. 8-track. Always good to hear from 8-track. Do you think Undertaker versus the Great Muta would have been a draw or a 5-star match at WrestleMania? I don't know about Undertaker. Now, you're talking Undertaker back when Muta was still like in his prime. That was a very different Undertaker. So that version of the Undertaker was not having a 5-star match. That version of the Undertaker was going to choke. He was going to let go. He was going to choke some more. Let go, choke some more, flying clothesline, choke some more. It would have been a great attraction, though. Undertaker against the Great Muta? That would have been great. Turtlehead. If Kenny was NJPW Kenny, would Darby, Cody, etc. be as over? And is there someone there to have an Okada match? It's funny, I get this super chat now. Is there someone there to have an Okada match with him in AEW? An Okada match? Probably not. That's one of the greatest, I mean, probably the second or third match they had, I think it was, is one of the greatest matches of all time. It's one of the greatest matches I have ever seen. Okada is a special performer. Kenny is also in his own way. You take those two and put them together, you got magic. Some guys just have chemistry together. Some guys, not so much. And they just found the perfect blend, the perfect combination with those two guys, and they were fantastic in the ring together. Okada doesn't grow on trees. Everyone would love to have their own Okada. Everyone wants their own Rainmaker. Everyone should have their own Minoru Suzuki. But you can't. There's only one. Only one Minoru Suzuki. Which is good for the rest of us. Because that would be very dangerous. Let's go to 484.
Solid Monster, what's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, not a whole hell of a lot. Good night of wrestling. Baseball might be on its way back soon. So, hey, it's a good night, right?
I'll believe it when I see it. One day baseball's coming back. The next day it's not. The next day it is. I don't know what to believe anymore.
You know, they had a good meeting today, apparently. So, I guess baby steps, right? Who knows?
I guess so. All I know is that so far the Mets are not doing badly this season. So, once they start playing,
the Mets are tied for first place.
They are tied for first place. They may, in fact, win the World Series this year. If they actually start playing games, I don't like our chances.
Oh my God, easy for me to talk right now. Holy cow.
It's not so easy, is it?
What's that, man?
I said it's not so easy, is it? Try doing that three or four times
God,
a week.
I don't know how you do it. Good. I thought it was a good show as well tonight with AEW. My question for you is, though, do you think that if the crowds were there, that they would be teasing a Cody Rhodes turn? Because it does kind of seem a little weird to turn him, you know, if there were fans around, because he is arguably the most popular wrestler in the company, or babyface-wise, the most popular there. Would they be even teasing this or hinting at it if there were crowds there, or they kind of figure, hell, there's no crowds there, might as well just see what happens?
No, I don't think it really is going to affect that one way or the other, because if you turn him, eventually you're going to get crowds back, and again, he won't be a babyface at that point. If they would have turned him with crowds, you still have Hangman was getting over like crazy, and Darby was getting over like crazy, so it's not as if they didn't have people who could try to fill that gap. So I don't know that the whole COVID thing has really affected that in any way. I know it has shifted some of their plans. Brody Lee would not have gotten that main event at Double or Nothing. That much I know.
Right.
That was one of the few things that did change because of, you know, all the circumstances. But beyond that, I think we'd probably be right where we are, you know, linking up Arn and Cody and then probably doing this slow burn that after tonight. It seems pretty obvious to me that there's a slow burn going here to something bigger.
And also, I know you mentioned Adam Page. Do you think they might have scrapped his heel turn? Because they haven't really hinted that at all in the tag match today or anything really lately.
Scrapped what?
The Hangman heel turn.
No, I just think it's one of those things that they're not ready for yet. So you don't have to. Like, if it's not coming for a few more months, you can only do so many miscommunications or things of that nature before it just gets old and you run out of things to do. So I think it's coming, but they're not close to being there just yet. So you can have weeks where they just work together and they don't really draw any attention to there being, you know, kind of heat between them. But in a few weeks, they might do that. Just because they didn't do it tonight, I don't think that means that they dropped it.
All right, man. All right, man. Hey, take care. Get some sleep, right?
Thank you. I'm going to try. I always say I will, but then I turn around and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got to get up really early in the morning, too, but it's all good because I get to spend time with you guys. At least a few more minutes. You don't mind, do you? Of course not. If you minded, you wouldn't be here right now. 631.
Hey, Jason. What's going on, brother?
Not much. Who am I talking to?
It's Scott, man. I'm on Long Island.
Hey, Scott.
I thought it was a great show tonight again. Also, I really am very excited about Ricky Starks. I thought he was awesome throughout the whole NWA TV tournament. I think he showed a lot, especially in those matches that were like, were they 6 minutes long each in the NWA TV tournament?
Yeah, it was like 6:05.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's another reason that they didn't go too long tonight. I 100% agree with you. They definitely should have cut that Sabian and Havoc match with the Bucks off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because And I love, I'll take Matt and Nick anytime, you know, getting on TV. But I feel like as much as people are getting behind like Sabian and Havoc together, I don't really like them as a pair. I don't think so.
Yeah,
and I love Jimmy, man. I met him in Chicago. Great guy. Great guy, Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah,
but
I think he
I'm
brings...
I'm just not feeling this combo together.
He brings something to the table, but yeah, it was kind of just one of these weird pairings that just didn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, what are they, the Super Bad Squad? Like, who gives a shit? Like, I can't bring myself to care. I'm in the same boat.
And I think Ricky Starks is an absolute stud. I think obviously it's the pandemic, but the NWA, I thought he had a bigger role to play in the future. But with them being shut down, I mean, he's got to take care of himself. And I'm glad that he wasn't going to be another name lost in the shuffle over in Connecticut, because I think in AEW, he's going to be perfect with guys like Sammy and Darby, who are already over. And I also wanted to get to one of the last callers who was just crushing Kenny Omega, which really drives me insane. The guy is in a position that people don't realize right now. First off, if you remember when there was crowds, every time his music hit, he got a huge pop. Huge pop. Every time he came out. So this whole, he's not as big as he, well, remember in Japan, he was wrestling in American TV, like once every 2 months.
Yeah,
so it was almost like he was a novelty then.
Yeah, well, I made that same point.
And
I
now
said,
you get to see what he does every week.
I said to compare the New Japan product to WWE or AEW is unfair, because with New Japan, Kenny Omega was not on a weekly television show. He wasn't on a weekly television show cutting promos and doing storylines and stuff. It's just a different system. It's a different type of product that they have. And when he would have...
It's a totally different product.
It is. But when we have that big match... He could put together a 30, 40-minute match. The longer the better. And
That's exactly what I was getting to.
Yeah, you don't.
Do you remember the Iron Man match he had with Pac?
Yeah.
That was one of the best matches of the year, if not the match of the year so far, the Iron Man match he had with Pac. And I was there live at All Out for his first one with Pac, which was fantastic. When you give the guy the time, and it's not even like he's like, I know what Okada, of course. You know, to me, they're perfect dance partners. They're Rocky and Apollo. They're perfect together. But you give this guy a Pac, you give this guy a Hangman, you give this guy a Jericho, he puts on a show every time. And I 100% agree that he's the plan to take that title next, because they do need a homegrown guy. It can't be another one of these, you know, as much as I love Jericho and Mox, technically, they're looked at as WWE guys. And they need to get this main big platinum on a homegrown elite member. And I think Kenny's the guy to do it. If not, the way Hangman's gotten over, he'd be another one. But I do think Kenny's the one in line to have that push. And when that team turns, like you said, by All Out, couldn't agree more. Someone will have those belts. I'm pretty sure it'll be FTR or the Bucks or one of those two. And these two will
if they play their cards right before you even get to All Out, I mean, what I would probably do is have FTR. Now they have to start winning some more matches, and maybe there isn't enough time between now and then, but I would put the belts on FTR before they even get to the Young Bucks.
Big ratings draw for Dynamite, FTR and FTR and Kenny and Hangman. That's a big main event for a Dynamite.
I don't know about that. It remains to be seen if it would be a ratings draw. I think sometimes people make more of a they've had some matches that I thought would do better in the ratings, and there's a certain level they haven't been able to break through. But I think I would put the titles on FTR before they even get to the Bucks. The Bucks then have to face them to win the belts off them. And that frees up Hangman.
Absolutely.
And that frees up Hangman. You do the other big match on the same pay-per-view is the Hangman match with Omega. And you made a great point.
The blow off with Kenny.
The best part about it is Omega and Moxley, obviously that's still, I think it's unresolved because Moxley beat him. So he should want to get his win back, so to speak. But.
And remember, it was also in Moxley's turf in the lights out style.
Right. But if you want to go in a different direction and have Hangman, now that's interesting, because when Hangman wrestled Jericho and Jericho won the title,
I was there live.
He was
not even close to as over as he is.
No, not even. He was nowhere close, and it would have been horrible to put the belt on him. I said at the time, Jericho was the perfect person to start out as the champion. But it's amazing. Here we are now, all these, you know, all this time later, and it's like a 180 where Hangman is just organically over. He's one of the most popular guys in the promotion. Now it feels like if they were to put him in that situation, I would put the title on him.
You have enough momentum.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
he didn't
feel 100% right.
He didn't feel like a world champion before, but now I can buy into it because they've taken the time to build him up, and the people have just, you know, the whole alcohol thing, the beer thing, that helps, but they have just taken to the guy. So you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. They have that luxury now of going in either direction. But yeah, I wouldn't put it on another, you know, quote unquote WWE guy. I think you got to go.
Right.
You got to go with someone
else. To me, it's got to be homegrown.
Yeah.
It's got to be homegrown. It's got to be one of their own.
I agree. Well, that was great.
All right. Thanks, Al Monty, man. Well, it was great. Great talking to you, brother.
You too, man. That was a great discussion, and hopefully you'll call back again soon. It really is a great situation that AEW finds themselves in now with Omega and Hangman. They can go this way, they can go that way, and I don't know that either one of those directions is really wrong. I might even like the Hangman one more, but he definitely feels more like a contender now than he did when he fought Jericho. He wasn't ready for it. Just wasn't the right time. Timing is everything. Timing is everything, and I think Hangman is a great example of that. BW Rosas with the Super Chat action. Is it me, or does Ali's story been done? I don't know what that means. Been done before? All these stories have been done at some point or another in wrestling. Every wrestling storyline is just recycling a wrestling storyline from somewhere else. By the power, who's going to face Mox for the title after Brian Cage? Well, I would think MJF may be in line. But if you're talking about All Out, it could be what we were just talking about. It could be Omega or it could be Hangman. Might be too soon for that. So let's say if Omega and Hangman have a match with each other at All Out, Moxley could get in there with MJF. I thought maybe they would do MJF at Double or Nothing. Maybe they save him for All Out. There you go. Moxley and MJF, Hangman and Kenny Omega, FTR, and the Young Bucks. I mean, those could be your three big matches right there. And that's not even counting whatever they may or may not do with Jericho and Tyson. So, you know, they can have themselves a pretty impressive card, you know, depending on how they decide to load it up. For All Out, it'd be nice if they were able to get people back in the building by then, but that might be a little optimistic at this point. 718.
Hey Jason, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Who am I talking to?
This is Mal. I went in the chat.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Not much. I kind of want to comment before on the caller before me. I agree with you. I think Hangman should probably get that over Omega. But my question kind of goes in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
I know the general consensus is that the women's division probably isn't the strongest. And I probably would agree with that. I think slowly but surely they're getting more acts that people are interested in, like Britt Baker and Abaddon with the crazy eyes.
Abaddon, the freaky one.
Yeah. Exactly. But then there's like another freaking one, Chris Statlander. I know she had a title shot that was delayed and then she got it and she lost. And now she's injured and I feel like she's kind of been like downcasted. Do you think there's a way for them to kind of resurge her character?
Statlander?
Yeah.
Nah, but there's always a way to rehab somebody. I mean, unfortunately, it looks like she's going to be gone for a while. So if she's got an ACL injury, my guess is we probably don't see her again until the fall would be my guess. So I don't even think she could be factored into any of the All Out stuff. And she'll be gone long enough where when she comes back, if it were me, I personally don't get the whole alien thing. I know she was doing that before she came to AEW and she's the world's greatest alien, whatever she calls herself. And she bops people on the nose. I don't get it. I think it's dumb. If I were them, and if I were her, I would want to just do a reset. And if she's going to be gone for 6 months, that's long enough. People kind of forget. Bring her back. and just get away from that. It's hard. It is hard for people, I think, to take her a little seriously because of that stuff. And I've seen her work before. I mean, in fact, I've had the chance to call some of her matches. She did some matches in House of Glory, and I was able to do commentary. That was my first exposure to Statlander, and she's good. But the whole alien thing, I think that might be limiting. So if there was a good thing, I guess, about her being out for a long time, maybe when she comes back, just kind of leave the alien thing. I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing for her. But you could always rehab people. You can always rehab people.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. So she literally needs rehab. And then I think character-wise, maybe get away from the alien stuff. Maybe beam that gimmick back up to a galaxy far, far away. That might be my suggestion. But I'm not the booker. I'm not the booker man. 651.
What's up, Thumbmaster? Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon.
For me, the best part of the show was when JR was like freaking out over Abaddon, and he was just like freaked out by her.
Yeah, Jim Ross. Jim Ross is. You notice when there's a female performer on television or on social media that he is fond of. He will speak about them in a certain way, and he'll put them over. And I could just imagine him looking at Abaddon for the first time, if he had never seen her before, and just being completely mortified and disgusted by what he was seeing. And that's what we got. We got genuine JR reacting to Abaddon here tonight on the show. He wears his emotions on his sleeve.
Yeah, he does. I got two quick questions for you, man. First one, do you think after Fyter Fest, for Cody, if he still has the champion, do you think they should do like an open gimmick, kind of like gut check from TNA, where they bring outside indie wrestlers in for kind of like a tryout against Cody?
Well, they kind of did that tonight with Ricky Starks. I mean, he's been signed now, but
yeah, I mean,
it's exactly what they did tonight. I'd like to see them do more of that. You know, bring some faces in from the outside. You know, maybe it's somebody one week that we have heard of before who's not signed, that kind of has a name. And then maybe the next week it's somebody who we've never heard of before who goes out there and blows everybody away. And it gets them over. And who knows, if they do a good enough job, maybe they'll sign that person too. So I think you want to flip-flop and go back and forth. Maybe one week it's somebody from the roster. And then maybe the next week it's somebody who we've never seen before. Yeah, that's the cool thing about the open challenge stuff, is that you can plug anybody in there. So I hope they keep doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, me too. And then second question, do you think like after Fyter Fest and before All Out is a good time to try to do Blood and Guts, or is it still too early because like, you know, the case numbers are like rising back up again?
No, it's too early because you got to have a crowd. You got to have a live audience for that. That's going to be a really big show for them. I think ticket-wise, it was going to be a really big show for them. But a match like that, you want to have a live audience. You want to have... See, here's the problem. There's no easy answer for this, because I can sit here and say, no, wait, right? Wait until they allow crowds back in. We don't know what those crowds are going to look like. You know, I mean, for all we know, wrestling for the next year and a half, once people are able to come back in, you know, you may be looking at buildings with, 2,000 people, 3,000 people. I mean, if they book a venue like a Hammerstein Ballroom fits 2,500 people, if you're allowed to have that many people in there, then maybe that's the solution. But there's no easy answer. It sucks because Newark would have been fucking rocking for that show. You know, they had 14,000 tickets sold for Newark, New Jersey. They're going to have a packed house. And I don't think anybody knows the next time that you'll be allowed to have a packed house for anything. So how long do you delay it for? Can you delay Blood and Guts for a year? I don't know. I would hate for them to do that in front of just a bunch of wrestlers and in front of no people. So I would hold off. I don't think there's any rush. You know, the people that were going to be in the match, by the time you get to it, it might be totally different. It was going to be the Elite against the Inner Circle. By the time they get to Blood and Guts, it could be two totally different teams. But I wouldn't rush into that. I would try to wait and see how things play themselves out. If you can get people in the building, that's what I would wait for.
No problem. Thank you for the phone call. Shout out to my boy Turtlehead, and you have a good night.
You too. Wait, Turtlehead's a popular one, huh? I think Turtlehead might be more popular than me. I'm just kidding. Not even close. Let's go to 845.
Hey, Salamasa, how you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
This is Mike from Rockland County, New York. Hey, I've been a fan of your show for about like 6 years now.
Wow.
Never called in as first.
Well, I'm glad you finally made the leap, and you weren't scared off by some of the other callers.
Well, I was going to ask you a question about Kenny Omega, but after hearing the last few guys, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah, let's steer away from that.
But let me ask you, who do you think is going the furthest in the future between Jungle Boy, MJF, and Darby Allin?
Who do I think is gonna what reach what goal first?
I don't know. Just go the furthest in the future.
Go the furthest
title first. Yeah.
I would think MJF probably. I mean, Darby eventually is gonna get there.
Yeah, I'd say MJF's in the lead right now.
Yeah, I would say, and actually, I think it might be more likely that he doesn't win the championship, but he at least gets to a main event against Moxley, and then probably loses. But he'll get there before the other two. He'll get there before the other two.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I can see that.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's it, man. Big fan of your show. Love what you do. Stay safe out here in New York. It's crazy right now.
I know. I know. Although we're entering phase two next week, I hear.
Yeah, I know, man. I hope. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. You know? I'm in the same boat with you.
No problem, man. You have a good night, Jericho.
All right, you too. Stay safe. Let us check what's going on here. Chewy Gooey. I love saying it that way. Chewy Gooey. My worst nightmare is every wrestling promoter has a WWE creative and Vince McMahon mindset. A recipe for death. # wrestling is not dead. It's a lot of great wrestling. Even in WWE, there's a lot of great wrestling. There's a lot of bullshit. But if you can burrow through the bullshit, there is actually... In fact, we just got the greatest match ever. Didn't you see it? I mean, it was right there on pay-per-view the other night. The greatest wrestling match ever. Even on television on Monday night, they're saying, well, it turned out to be the greatest wrestling match ever, so I guess it must be. No other promotion can now lay claim to the greatest wrestling match ever. AEW poll, inching upward. Ran 80% now, 21 down. NXT 74 up, 26 down. If you missed it, I have my Undertaker Chapter 4, The Battle Within. Episode review is up on the YouTube channel. It is there for your viewing pleasure, all 46 minutes of it. The penultimate episode. There's only one left. I've really been enjoying the series. I've been enjoying doing my series. We'd be sad to see it end, but next Tuesday, all good things must come to an end. And so next Tuesday at 8 p.m., that's June 23rd, I hope you guys will join me for the Chapter 5 review on the channel. That should be a lot of fun. I'm going to get out of here and try to get some sleep. If I can get to bed by 1 a.m., that would be kind of nice, but we'll see how that goes. Thank you for joining me tonight, guys. Always fun to chat with you, and thank you for all the super chats and all the support. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel if you have not already done so, so you'll flick those notifications on. Find out whenever a new video goes up or a new stream. You can join me right back here. Until next time, be well, stay safe. And I will see you for episode 657 of the podcast coming up this Sunday. And right back here for more AEW Dynamite next Wednesday. Until next time, take care, guys.